Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? We're on that journey, aren't we? Good morning. It's good to be with you. It's good to see you. And 2022. Am I right? Crazy. Okay. Aren't those seats comfortable? They're you know, stadium seating. Those are nice seats, aren't they? They're very comfortable. But I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Why? Because we're going to read the Word of God. It's kind of cool in the Scriptures. There's a time during a revival in the land when the whole assembly of Israel stood for the whole reading of the book of Moses. And you stand for the reading of God's word and then sit when a mere mortal speaks. But a couple pieces of scripture from, here's one for you. An epistle, Peter wrote this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 25. He says, "But the word of the Lord endures how long? Forever." How long's forever?
Forever.
"This is the word that was preached to you." Jesus said this once at the temple in Jerusalem as they were in a theological discussion over the Bible. In John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, Jesus says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are the very scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life." The scriptures. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it's a new year. Yesterday was a new day, a new month, the start of a new year. Today is day two of a new month, of a new year. Father, there's so much in year 2022 that we don't know. So much uncertainty in the world. And yet, God, this morning we come here to this house, to this tent of meeting, to this assembly. We come, Lord, to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. We ask, Jesus, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us understand the things that's been freely given to us, especially in the Word of the living God. Lord, we ask, God, you would open our eyes that we could see Jesus this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would open our ears that we would hear God speaking into our lives. Lord, we love you and praise you and we thank you for all this and pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to see you. Do you all have a good Christmas, a good New Year's? Our guys went and played golf on the 31st. That was kind of fun. Last day of the year, I went out and I got my son some new golf clubs and grips and we played, and Warner and I were a foursome, and we played skins. I don't know if you know what that is, where it's who can win the hole between the old guys in one cart and the younger guys in the next cart. And we tied. We won 9 holes, and then they won 9 holes, and Warner still thinks they cheated. They probably did. But it's beautiful, honestly. Yesterday, it was cold at 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. But man, what a beautiful day it was yesterday, especially out all that rain, right? Talking to relatives that live back east, and they're talking about the Rose Parade and how lucky we are to live in California. And sure enough, if you saw the Rose Parade, wasn't that? I mean, It's California at its best. It's beautiful skies and beautiful weather. Welcome to a new year, right? Hope you had a good new year. I hope you had a good Christmas. For the Winans, we had a very interesting Christmas. We had a COVID Christmas. For our world, which has been very unique, for Thanksgiving, I was really sick and we didn't get together with family for Thanksgiving because I was just out, man. Took 2 COVID tests, both came back negative, but man, I was sick for like a month, just really down and out. And then we thought maybe it'd be good to take a COVID test, make sure we're all good before we be with my dad and send his mom and her family. And so we all took tests just to be safe, and Lucinda walks in and she says, "My test came back positive," like 2 days before Christmas. And she had a cough and like a runny nose, that's it, you know. And all of a sudden it dawned on us, this means 10-day lockdown, right? So for us, for Christmas, we were alone again. My son Jeremiah was with us, and we just had a quiet Christmas. We couldn't see family. We couldn't go out for the most part. And I'm glad my sister came down because my dad's 95. He turns 95 tomorrow. And I didn't want him being alone, but hey, guys, right? Crazy. My Thanksgiving was toast. Christmas was unique. We had I hope you had a nice Christmas. Did you have a nice Christmas? It's funny. I called Pastor Vince. I said, hey, Pastor Vince, you sitting down? He goes, I am now. I said, Cinda just tested positive, and I can't do the Christmas Eve service. And he says, okay, we got it. And I said, hey, I can't do next Sunday either. And he goes, ah, the plot thickens. I guess he looked at Pastor Graham and him, or they went for it, and they're amazing. We have an amazing church, don't we? Hey, what a year 2021 was. Do I hear an amen? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm glad it's gone. I've been thinking over this last year, and I've been trying to come up with one word that to me would describe 2021. And this is the word I came up with: uncertain. Uncertainty. The whole year was just uncertain to me. It was hard to plan anything in 2021. It was hard to predict anything. It was hard to prepare anything. It was hard to get solid information in order to make the solid decisions. To me, I sum it up with a year of uncertainty, right? It's funny, yesterday I was out taking down my Christmas lights. My neighbor across the street taking down his Christmas lights. And he asked me, hey, do you have any plans for 2022? And I looked at him and said, my crystal ball broke 2 years ago. I can't plan or predict anything. I hope I have things planned for 2022, but I'm holding them like this because I don't know if they'll work or not work or this or that or the other. I mean, if there's uncertainty. That's the word I use for 2021. What word would you give it? Be kind, right? And I would say that uncertainty of the last 2 years. Uncertainty. In a world that's uncertain, I know of one thing that's eternally certain. In a world that's uncertain, is the world uncertain? Absolutely. I know of one thing that's eternally certain. The word of the living God. The God of the scriptures is certain. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Peter says, the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. The word of God endures forever. That's a long time. It's interesting. So as we were coming through Christmas this last year, and we were teaching about the message and the meaning of Christmas, and we're talking about Mary and Joseph and so forth, and if you read, especially in the book of Matthew, Matthew's great. Matthew's like gives cliff notes to the whole Bible. Matthew's like cheat notes. If you ever want to really get a handle on the Old Testament, just read Matthew. It was written to Jewish believers in the first century. Whenever you would read Matthew, especially about like Christmas, there was always a phrase that said something like this in Matthew 1:22. All through the Gospel of Matthew, especially about Jesus, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. To fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. Jesus born in Bethlehem. To fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Jesus born of a virgin birth. To fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Jesus coming out of Egypt. To fulfill what the prophecy said about the Messiah. Jesus to be born in Nazareth. To fulfill. Jesus' life just being fulfilled in Christmas. Merry Christmas, right? Prophecy. Foretelling things that would happen in the future. Before they happen. So when you see these things happen, you know that God is real. It's called prophecy. Foretelling. Prophecy. God telling you what's going to take place before it takes place, so when it takes place, you'll know. Certainty. In a world of uncertainty. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I want you to write down this first note, because this is a good note. Prophecy is a miracle of the Bible that no other religion in the world can match. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, note number one, write this down. Prophecy is a miracle of the Bible, this book, that no other religion on the world can match, period. Pastor Frank is a skeptic. I came to Jesus kicking and screaming, and I like reading. This is my Quran. My Quran. I've read the Quran. Have you? Prophet Muhammad? Allah? I love Muslims, but I don't believe in Islam. Is there any prophecy in the Quran? Does Allah say anything and 200, 300, 400, 500 years later it came to pass? Answer, no, none. None. It's my teachings of Buddha. I've read the teachings of Buddha. I love Buddhists. I don't love Buddhism. Did Buddha ever say anything? And 200, 300, 400, 500 years later, it came to pass. To prove. Answer? None. Not one. Not one. This is my Book of Mormon. I love Mormons. Love them. But I don't believe in their prophet, Joseph Smith. I don't believe in how their view of Jesus. Did Joseph Smith ever say anything in 200, 300, 400? Anything, any prophetic utterance whatsoever to prove anything? Answer? Not one. I love Mormons. I don't love Mormonism. I don't believe in it. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God of Moses and the prophets, the God who comes to earth and begins fulfilling prophecies, hundreds of prophecies. Note number two, take notes of me this morning. Prophecy is a proof that that God gives us to show that He's real. He's real and what He says is true. Prophecy is a proof that God gives us to show that God is real. This one's real. And what He says, He's not lying. Certainty in uncertainty. People, Jesus had a favorite. Jesus quoted a book of the Old Testament more than any other. Does anyone know what book Jesus quoted more than any other? Do you know what one? Prophet Isaiah. His favorite one. Prophet Isaiah is famous. It's really famous. As archaeologically, they found the Isaiah scroll in 1948 as the nation of Israel is being reestablished, fulfilling prophecy. God gave them back their scriptures as well with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the most intact scroll is the scroll of Isaiah, dated 100 B.C. Isaiah wrote in 700 B.C. It wasn't the scroll of Isaiah. They kept rewriting and writing down. Isaiah is interesting. When you read the prophet Isaiah, and on Isaiah chapter 1, God says He's mad at His people because they're blowing Him off and they're denying Him. And He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be made white as wool. God says, let me reason with me. Did you know that God wants you to give Him your brain and think with Him? Do you know God says, let us reason together, saith the Lord? That means God says, give me your brain, think with me. He says, your sins are many. They're red, but I will make them white as snow. Isaiah 1. By Isaiah 7, God says, I will show you a sign. A virgin will give birth to a child, and you will call him Emmanuel. That means God is with us. In Isaiah 9, God says in Isaiah 9:1, those that walk in Galilee in darkness, a great light will dawn. It tells them the ministry of the Messiah will begin in the Sea of Galilee. Those that walk in darkness, a great light will dawn. And then in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for a child will be given, and a child will be given to you, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9. Isaiah 11, it says that the Messiah will restore. He will judge all people based on how they've lived their life. He says he will restore the earth in Isaiah chapter 11. And then and God keeps speaking through the whole book of Isaiah, and he's mad at his people because they've blown him off to follow other gods. And God says this in Isaiah 41 through 44, and I want you to hear the heart of God. And God, remember, in Isaiah 1, he says, give me your brain, reason with me. Isaiah chapter 41, 21 through 24, God is speaking that his people are following other gods, idols. And he starts speaking to these idols. You're following this God. Why are you doing this? Isaiah 41, 21 through 24, present your case, says the Lord, speaking to these other gods. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols, what's going to happen? What's prophecy of the future? What's going to happen? Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things to come. God is speaking like to other gods that people believe in, and he's mocking these gods. Tell us what the future holds, that we may know that you are gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we will be dismayed and filled with fear. But you're less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses these other gods is detestable, because they're not real. Isaiah 42, 8 and 9, God says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And I will not yield my glory to another god, or praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place. I've given you prophecy and it's been fulfilled, he says, and I will declare new things to you, and when those come to pass, you'll know that I'm God. Give me your brain, think with me, right? Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. This is what the Lord says, so listen to this, not me. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first, God says, and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people. And what is yet to come? Yes, let them foretell what will come, prophecy. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. There's no other rock. I know not one. Did you hear God? God says, I've given you a brain. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Let me speak into your logic. Let's reason this out. Your sins are like scarlet. I'm going to make them white as snow. And I'm going to predict, I'm going to show you prophetic utterance proving that I'm God. Why can't these do prophecy? Answer, they're not real. They're not real. They're not real prophets. They're not a real God. But there is a God. And he will prove to you that he is. Not a feeling, but thought. There is one God that can predict the future. Did you know that? What should this mean to you and me? What should this say to us in 2022? Hey, people, this, do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? I want you to take notes of me this morning. Note number three. I just want you to know, what am I holding in my hand? Note number three. The Bible, it's a library. Did you know that? This is not one, it's 66 books. These are 66 books from Genesis through Revelation, written between 450 BC and 90 AD, from Moses to the Apostle John. 1,450 years. The Bible was written over a span of 1,450 years. 1,500 years, okay? How old's this country again? 200? The Bible was written over a span of like 1,500 years. Write that down. What am I holding in my hand? Note number 4. The Bible was written by over 40 different human authors. 40. On 3 different continents. Africa, Middle East, and Egypt. It's written in 3 different languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Note number 5. These 40 different authors were kings and statesmen, priests, prophets, tax collector, a physician, tent maker, and fisherman. If you were to ask each one of these authors individually about any subject at all, they would have views as diverse as the people in this room, and probably way, way more times 10 when you think of a person that was born 1,500 years after another person. Imagine what you would talk about. But write this down. Note number 6. Miraculously, they produced a set of writings that is marvelous in unity. In unity. Unity in doctrine. In historical viewpoint. Unity in ethics. And expectations. Note number 7. This is amazing. What am I holding in my hand? Throughout these 1,500 years, there's a consistent view of God, of mankind, of sin, of salvation, of a coming Messiah and a kingdom. That's what I'm holding in my hand. How do you explain that? God. Did you know in this book there's numerical consistency? 40 is the number of testing. The children of Israel traveled for 40 years in the wilderness, right? Noah, 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. 40 is the number of testing. 12 is the number of governance. There's 12 tribes of Israel. How many disciples did Jesus have? Answer? 12. There's a consistency of unity in the scriptures, spanning the time. Unity. How can this book be unified? People behind the efforts of more than 40 human authors is the one perfect, sovereign, and guiding mind of Almighty God. That's what I'm holding in my hand. The scriptures. And how long will these last for? The word of God endures for? That's a long time. When God spoke, it exists. God speaks, comes to play. See, this is not just a physical thing that I'm holding. It's spiritual. And Peter talks about the spirituality of this in 2 Peter 1:20-21. Listen to this. Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origins in human will. But prophets, though they're human, they were spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God is the one that speaks through them. Did you get that? It's not just natural. This is a supernatural book. Can you predict what's going to happen 250 years from now? Anyone? With detail? And yet, all through this book, prophets spoke. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. 500 years later, he's born in Bethlehem. The virgin will give birth to a child, and he will be called Emmanuel. 700 years later, Mary gives birth to Jesus. His ministry will begin on the Sea of Galilee. Where does Jesus begin his ministry? 700 years later, he goes down to the Sea of Galilee. And those that lived in darkness, a great light will dawn. This predicts the future. God says, I'm going to prove to you that I'm God. I'll tell you what's going to take place before it takes place, so when it takes place, you'll know that I'm God. Don't listen to any other people. Test them. Are they God? Are they not? Are they prophets? Are they not? Do you understand? Hey, you know what? Last year, uncertainty. There's one thing that's certain in my life. This God that speaks through this scriptures. And you know what? It's not feelings. It's faith based in truth. Prophecy is persuasive. See, Jesus would agree how Peter views the scriptures. Yeah, they're men, but they're moved by God, spoke from God, moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus agrees. You know, that's how Jesus views the scriptures. When Jesus speaks of the scripture, he says it's God's. Did you know that Jesus appealed to the scriptures? Time and time again to support his life and actions. All through Jesus' ministry, he says, I'm fulfilling scripture. I'm fulfilling scripture. I'm fulfilling scripture. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, after coming back from being baptized by John, he goes to Nazareth. And he goes into the synagogue that day. And they hand him the scroll of Isaiah. And he rolls out the scroll of Isaiah. Listen to this. Jesus sees that his life, his birth, he's fulfilling scripture all through his life. Jesus begins his ministry by a quote. He grabs Isaiah and he finds Isaiah 61. And this is what he says. It says the Spirit, so he's reading Isaiah, okay? Luke 4, 18 through 21, quoting Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Who is this speaking of? Because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and a recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture I just read is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus sat down and says, I fulfill that scripture today. That is me. And me is that. And that is my ministry. And everybody went, what? Do you realize that Jesus, his whole life was to fulfill with the scriptures? He says, my life is to fulfill scripture. He began his ministry fulfilling scripture. He ends his ministry hanging on a cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. Homework assignment, read Psalm 22. Jesus is on a cross, hanging from a cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's quoting Psalm 22. When you read Psalm 22, it says that all his bones are out of joint. They'll cast lots for his garments. They're casting dice for his garments. He says, there's evil dogs surround me. Evil doers are all around me. He's prophesying, saying, I am fulfilling Psalm 22 right now as I'm dying. Psalm 22, clip notes. The point that Jesus makes is that the Savior and the Scriptures are interlinked. Do this. Everybody do this. The Scriptures and the Savior, they're interlinked. They're one. You cannot remove the authority of one without the authority of the other. Jesus and the Scriptures are like peas and carrots. It's like Jenny and Forrest Gump. They go together. The Scriptures and the Savior are interlinked. They're one. That's a note. Note number 8. Jesus says the Scriptures and the Savior are interlinked. This is how Jesus views the Bible. He says, I fulfill the Bible. I've come to fulfill what's being said so you'll know that it's true and the God that I is true. This is what this is. Have you ever studied it? Did you know that this builds faith? Did you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? That's a note. The Bible builds faith. In Romans chapter 10, it says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you read this and study this and critically take your reason into this, you will be converted. If you seriously get down and say, I've got to figure out who the Creator is, begin reading. And don't just ask, what do people believe? Ask, how do you know what you believe is true? Don't just ask people, what do you believe? Well, how do you know what you believe is true? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You read it, it'll change your life. And this is true of all of us in this room to some degree or another. Rabbi Feldman, who was preaching here yesterday at a Messianic Jewish congregation, he became a believer in Jesus as he began reading the prophet Isaiah. Ask him. Pastor Frank, who stands before you today, if I was 18 years old, I would have looked at all of you, and I did. I called you all nuts. I was an atheist who thought anyone who believed in God was ignorant, narrow-minded, and bigoted. And I didn't like you people. What happened to me? My cousin shared Jesus with me in Hawaii. Some guy named Dave gave me a Bible. And one summer I began reading the Gospels as a skeptic. Started with the Gospel of Matthew, began reading. Finished the four Gospels. And by the end, I finally figured out what Christians believed about Jesus. And I remember asking this guy, Dave, I know what you believe, but I was going to say, how do you know what you believe is true? I told him that. Prove to me that what you believe is true. Because I'm an atheist. I have faith. You have faith. I have faith there is no God. You have faith there is God. I know what you believe. How do you know what you believe is true? And I was expecting him to say, well, I just have faith. Everybody has faith. Is it true or not? Is 2 + 2 = 4, people? Well, what if I just believe it's 5? Go try to live your life. See if that works out for you. You're going to bounce checks like you wouldn't believe. It doesn't work. Is it true or is it not true? And he told me to go home and read Isaiah 53. Amazing piece of scripture. God says in Isaiah 40, I'll prove to you that I am real. I'm going to proclaim things to you before they take place, so when they take place, you'll know that I'm God. And Isaiah 53 comes along and it says that my servant will be flogged, pierced through for the transgressions of my people, flogged for the sins of my people. Isaiah 53 says my servant will be quiet before his accusers. His grave will be assigned with wicked men, yet in a rich man's grave. And the righteous one, my servant, will remove the iniquity of my people, fulfilling Isaiah 1. He says, I will see his offspring and prolong his days. Though he dies, he will live again. Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus is born. I read Isaiah 53. I knew it was Jesus. It was my beginnings of my faith. I remember saying, man, that's incredible. How could God do this? Maybe there is a God. I would expect that if there was a creator, God would know what could take place before it takes place. It's the beginnings of the step of faith. Did you know that this produces faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's true testimony. Hey, people, one of the greatest atheists of the 20th century and the greatest thinker was a guy named C.S. Lewis. You all know C.S. Lewis, right? Oxford professor, total skeptic. Oxford professor, total skeptic. In dialogue with a guy named Tolkien who wrote the Lord of the Rings series, right? And they would talk about God. And finally, here's a quote from C.S. Lewis. because it was his moment of conversion. He read this. And he said he couldn't run from it. You must picture me alone in that room at Magdalene. Night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted, even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him who I so earnestly desired not to meet, that which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. And in the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. And he went on to become the greatest apologist of the 20th century. He came with his brain. Because it's true. I don't know about my neighbor. Hey, Frank. Putting away Christmas lights. You got any plans for 2022? Man, my crystal ball broke 2 years ago. I have plans, but I don't know if they're going to come to pass or not. Man, I don't even know what I'm doing next week. I think I do. Uncertainty. That's the word I give for 2021. What word would you give it? I give it 2020. Everything's uncertain. Are the kids going to go to school or are they not? Are they online learning or are they in person? Is the airplane flights going to move or are they not going to move? Are we going to go back in lockdown or are we not going to go in lockdown? Anyone? You know, I'm still trying to get my trip to... See, I went and studied as a young Christian. I went and studied in Israel in 1987, and I take Israel study trips every 2 years. I'm still trying to get my trip from 2020 there in 2022. 56 people already paid, ready to go, week before we were to leave to go study in the land of Jesus. Shut down. I think I'm taking everybody in March of this year. I think I got a 70% chance. I have no idea. Do you? Do you think 2022 is any going to be any more certain than 2021? Do you think it's going to be just as uncertain? Happy New Year, everybody. There's one thing I'm certain about. God. Do you know, Pastor Frank? My world. In the last 15 months, I know of 5 people who died of COVID. I know 4 people who died of cancer. I know of 5 people who died of old age. And I know of 2 people that committed suicide. That's my last 15 months. Hard. That's hard. Do you count that? Do you realize? Man, every month. Every month. Do you know what the secret to my success is? Jesus. See, you got to read him. You need to meet him. You know, one day, early in Jesus' ministry, as he's fulfilling Isaiah 61, healing the blind and setting the prisoners free, he goes up on a mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, and he sits down and he begins his Sermon on the Mount with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Once you realize that you're bankrupt and you need me, that's the door to my ministry. Blessed is the poor in spirit. Are you poor in spirit? Do you realize that you're bankrupt in the eyes of God without... You need Jesus in your life. And he goes on and begins teaching in that Sermon on the Mount. And it's funny because he says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough troubles of its own." That's how we should live 2022, amen? Just live today. Focus on today. Live today. Live today. You really think that tomorrow's promised, or the next day, or the next day, or the next day? You think. You don't know. Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's enough troubles of its own." Do you know at the very end of his sermon, Jesus says, "He who hears what I say and lives on what I say is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Because when the storms of life come, not if, but when, your house will stand because you built your life on me and my teachings. He says the fool, the person that's not intelligent, let us reason together, says Isaiah, the God of Isaiah. The fool will hear my teachings and blow them off. And he'll go build his house on the sand. And when, not if, people, when the storms of life come, your house is going to crumble because you didn't build it right. You build your house on your bank account, your good looks, your intelligence, who you know. You build your life on what? If you build your life on anything but Jesus, your life's going to come down someday. That's what Jesus said. I plan on building my life on the person and teachings of Jesus in 2022. Are you? Can I feed? Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my people. Pastor Frank, I want to feed you this morning. Jesus wants you to hear this very clear and loud. In 2022, you have no idea what's going to happen. There is so much uncertainty. Jesus wants you to build your life on Him this year. On His teachings. You build your life on the rock. Because if the storms keep blowing, I pray the storms stop. But if the wind keeps blowing, let it blow. Because on the solid rock of God I stand. What are you standing on? Everything else will fail. Read God's Word in 2022. I know it's hard to start reading literature that was written 1,500 years ago, to read about prophets and things that was happening 700 years ago, the wisdom literature in the Bible, the historical narrative in the Bible, the law of Moses and the prophets, the prophetic writings. Dude, read Isaiah this year. How about that? What if you just read the prophet Isaiah? Start with, hear God say, think with me. I'll prove to you I'm God. Read Isaiah. Read God's Word this year. Build your life. Jesus says the Scriptures and me are interlinked. You want to meet me? You meet me in the Scriptures. You read the Scriptures, you're going to see it just bears witness to me and back and forth. And pretty soon you'll be a C.S. Lewis going, this is real. This is real. Well, welcome to 2022. Happy New Year. There's one thing that will stand. The Word of the Living God endures for? Word of the Living God endures for? That, how long's forever? That's a long time, people. Study what's going to last for eternity. Study what's going to last for eternity. This stuff's eternal. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Hello, Lord. God of time, with you, Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. You're outside the realm of time. Lord, we live in time. We think in sequence and in thought. You're outside of that, Lord. You know the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. You're mind-blowing. And yet, God, you come to earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, you are with us today. You were with us in 2021. You were with us in 2020, and Lord, you are with us today. In death and life, you are with us. And we honor you this day. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that hear this message today. Lord, may you encourage them in their faith this morning. God, may their reason once again draw them to the truth of God, to the reality of God, to the prophetic miracle of the Bible. May we be in awe of your Scriptures. Jesus, you said that they bear witness of you. Truly they do. We just came out of Christmas. Nothing but fulfilled prophecy. Lord, may we today teach us, Jesus, how to build our life on you and your teachings. Lord, help us to be the people that you call us to be. Help us to do the things that you call us to do. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us, God, not to be discouraged. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Have you not commanded us? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, we honor you and love you this morning. Lord, we commit to you and dedicate to you 2022. Lord, what's going to happen this year? You're not going to tell us, are you, Lord? You're just going to tell us to trust you and follow you every day. And let the year play out as it will. Lord, you're not going to tell us what's going to happen, are you? Maybe we'd be so afraid if you did, we'd go hide under our beds. But Lord, we're just going to live each day with you. Every morning, wake up and declare that you're with us. Every morning, wake up and recognize your love for us. Recognize your promises for us, Lord, as we begin living our days. We're going to pray, Lord, that you help us to be the people, act as you would have us act, live our lives the way you would want us to. Help us represent Jesus well in 2022. Lord, help us respond to every challenge the way you would teach us, Lord. Help us to pray all through the day. God, give us courage and strength and power to live. God, we pray for your provision in our lives. Lord, every night when we put our head in our pillow, may we thank you for the day that we got to live today. Because we realize that all our days are numbered. Lord, you are the God of eternity. We honor you and love you this morning. God, may your word speak into our lives this year. May the word of God become radically important to us this year. Lord, may our faith be built as we study your word. May the word of God speak into our life. This we pray. For God's glory and in his name. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Frank. I invite us as we just stand and just continue to worship, that we would just continue to cling on to the Word of God. We allow the Word just to speak truth in us. And we're going to sing this song, and it's an older song called World of God Speaks by Mercy Me. And what I love about this song is that it wasn't written as a song initially. It actually started out as a journal entry at 3 in the morning. It wasn't even the main singer who wrote it. One of the band members was just feeling so exhausted and tired from all the busyness of coming off their tours. And at 3 in the morning, he got up, took out his journal, and wrote these words. And I pray that we would approach this year in the same posture. And even though things may not come as a big bang, or things may not come with a lot of excitement, that we can come with that posture of listening to God speak. That we would respond to those 3 a.m. in the morning.